It was a fairly typical morning, and Candy was having breakfast and having a morning cup of coffee, just as she often would. It was the only thing really unusual about the day is that she had the day off. And so earlier in the morning, her teenage kids had already gone off to school. Her husband had gone off to work, and so she had the house to herself. So she sat down at the breakfast table with a newspaper and a cup of coffee and a bagel, and she did what she had done for most of her adult Christian life. She prayed. She said, "Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the ways that you've blessed me. Please be with me today in all that I do. In Jesus' name, amen." That was a prayer that she prayed quite frequently, and she didn't actually think that much of it, or really didn't particularly expect anything unusual to happen as a result. But prayers are more powerful than we know. A few moments later, the phone rang, and it was an old friend from college, and her friend really wanted to talk. So, well, her friend was actually going through a really tough time in her marriage, and she started just pouring out her pain to Candy over the phone. And now Candy hadn't really seen Fiona for that long, this old college friend, and she didn't even necessarily know where Fiona was in terms of her relationship with God, but from her language she had some concerns. But she's just hearing all this pain, and she felt, just as she was talking on the phone, she just felt this little kind of nudge inside her heart that said, "Tell her." And even as she's listening, she's kind of thinking inside. She's thinking, "Well, what would it be like if I said, 'Hey, Fiona, could I pray for you?' Or, 'Fiona, where do you see God in all of this?' Or, 'Fiona, do you know how much God cares about you, even though it's a hard time?" But she's just thinking, "But I'm not bold. I'm not bold. I'm not that kind of person that would just go out and say that. Maybe she's not even open to it. I don't know. I don't know if she's open to it. And so I would if I could, but I can't." So she didn't. So the phone call was over, and she goes back to her coffee and reading the newspaper, and she's flipping through the newspaper, and she sees this article about a church that's giving away shoes to kids. And she sees in the article that $120 would buy 10 pairs of shoes for a family in need. And as she's reading this and going, "Oh, that's a neat idea. I really kind of like it." She felt this nudge inside her heart, and it said, "Give." Well, Candy thought to herself for a minute. She thought, "Well, I would if I could. But, you know, times are really tight. And, you know, money's not always certain. And we need to get a new car pretty soon. And Jeremy's in track, and so there's going to be a bunch of extra school expenses. I would if I could, but I can't." So she didn't. Well, she finished up her coffee and her bagel, and she went off into the front lawn. She had this wonderful kind of to-do list of things to do in the yard. She just loved kind of working in the yard. It was therapeutic. And so she's weeding away in the front garden, and she looks down the street, and there's a young man about the age of her oldest son, kind of like about somewhere in high school, and he's got his head underneath the hood of a car, and it's obvious he has no clue what he's doing, but the car is not starting, and she sees him on the phone talking in Spanish, and she looks down the street, and she goes, "Oh, I think that's the oldest son of our neighbor just down the cul-de-sac." And she's kind of watching him struggling and fumbling away under the car, not getting any real result, but, you know, just kind of looking like he didn't really know what he was doing. And she felt this nudge in her heart, and it said, "Help." And Candy thought to herself, "Well, I would if I could, but I don't know anything about cars, and I don't know how to speak Spanish. So, well, I would if I could, but I can't." So she didn't. So she went back into her yard work and her gardening and continued picking up weeds. And a moment later, a car drove by. It was the old man from down the street. And as soon as she saw his car go by, she felt this, like she remembered, because about 3 weeks ago, her oldest son, Jeremy, had the track team over for just, you know, like an after match kind of, you know, party. And he had called the cops and said that there was some underage drinking brawl happening at her house. And so, you know, the lights were flashing and the police cars came and they checked on, and she was so embarrassed that this mean old man would, when it was, I mean, it was 8:30 at night after a track meet, for Pete's sake, and she was just thinking, man, I would just love to turn him in for reckless driving or something like that. And she was kind of fantasizing in her head of all the stuff she would do if she just saw him do something. And then she felt this nudge in her heart, and it said, forgive. And Candy thought to herself, and she said, I would if I could. But he is really mean, and I'm just hurt from that. I was embarrassed. I mean, all the neighbors were looking outside the door at my house with police cars out front. I would if I could, but I can't. So she didn't. Well, later that day, she got together with some of her girlfriends. They had a little kind of a connection group that had been meeting for a number of years, just you know, five or six of them, and they were just checking in with each other and asking how life was going and how they were doing. And when it came to be Candy's turn to speak, she said, I don't know, I mean my life is blessed, I have everything I really need, but I just feel so. And tears started streaming down her face, like she didn't even understand how intense she felt it until the words finally came out of her mouth. I just feel so empty. Today, we are finishing up our series in the book of Philippians. And we're in Philippians chapter 4. And there's an idea in here that it's huge. I mean, it's this huge, huge concept. And so even for those of us that read the Bible and go, this is God's word and we believe it and it's true, there's a part of us that are just going to go, what? Something this big, an idea this big is summarized in these few words. Huge, huge, huge thought. So often we find ourselves discontent. We're unhappy. And here in Philippians chapter 4, Paul uses an interesting word. He uses the word secret. I have a secret. I've learned the secret to being content. It's a secret. There's a secret to being content that most people don't know and most people don't practice. But as we'll see in this passage, those that do find something that the whole world is chasing, but most people never grasp. And that's true happiness, true contentment. It'll come so fast, it'll just hit you, and you might even blow right past it. But this idea is just huge. And it might be exactly what the word that God has for you today. So and invite you to open your Bibles and or to look on the insert or on the screen or however is going to be best, and just focus in on this huge idea and don't let it blow past you. Now, I'm going to read the whole passage from 10 right through 23 just so we can, we're going to finish up the book. We've been going through verse by verse. Then we're going to come back and look at this one big idea. So Paul says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord when at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the, what's the word? I've learned the secret to being content in any and every situation. It's big. I've learned the secret to being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of our acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, but I desire that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters who are with me, send greetings. All the Lord's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Somewhere in the world, there's somebody that has significantly less than you have. Maybe they're living in a mud hut. Maybe they have one or two articles of clothing to their name. But they have something that you don't have. They're happier than you. They have something that you've maxed out your credit card trying to get it, and they've already got it. And it's found in the promise that I want to focus on today. Paul said there is a secret to being content. A secret to being content. And it's this. I can do what? All this through him who gives me strength. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do what? All this through him who gives me strength. Take out a piece of paper. Maybe it's on the notes you have and a pen. And I'd like you to play a little game with me, okay? So maybe at the bottom of a sheet somewhere, just write the words 100%. Or I guess it wouldn't be a word. That'd be like it's a number. 100%. 100%. And I'd like you to make a short list. You can have more than five if you want, but try to find at least five. Five things that you could say, I am 100% certain God wants me to do this. I am 100% certain that this is something that God wants for me. 100% certain. Like, for example, does God want you to be patient? Do you need any verses for that? I mean, there's a few. But if you could say, I'm 100% certain that God wants me to be a patient person, then maybe write that down. Or, you know, I'm 100% certain God wants my life to be generous. You know, whatever those things are, that you can clearly say, I am 100% certain that God wants me to do this. Are you 100% certain that God wants you to share your faith with the people around you? You know, are you 100% certain that God wants you to be loving or caring or gracious or kind? Whatever those things are, just write a few of them down, at least five. That you are 100%. And I've got another category there if you want to use this, because there are some things that you might say, I'm about 90% certain. Things that might not be true for absolutely every believer, but would be true for you. You know, like I would say, I am about 90% certain that God called me to pastor and plant a church. Because I think that's what God's called me to do and asked me to do, and I'm eager to follow it, and I'm going to give it all I've got. But, you know, I'm a human being and I'm flawed, and, you know, I don't want to just assume that just because I think it's a great idea that God wants it. But everything in my prayer life, everything in the circumstances says this is what God would have me do. So I'm 90% or maybe even 99% certain. But I can't say 100, you know, because there are things that not every single person is called to do, but I'm pretty certain this is what God would have me do. So if there's some things on your 90 to 99% list, maybe write a couple of those things down, if you have them. But more than anything, at least five items in the 100% column. And just because it's a smaller group today, who's willing to share just one of the things that you go, I am 100% certain that God would have this for me. God would want this for me. Oh, you're bold. Come on. Giving. Excellent. Thanks, Ryan. Giving. The rest of you, you can get some more coffee because you're sleepy. What's something else? Way to go, Ryan. Something else, 100% certain. Reach out to people that are hurting. You don't need special revelation or more Bible verses to tell you that that's what God wants for your life. I'm 100% certain. Okay. What else? One or two more? Loving your neighbor. Excellent, Kenzie. Forgiving. Exactly. I'm 100% certain these are things that God wants for my life, and he wants it for your life too. He wants everybody to experience these things. I am 100% certain. I've got Bible verses everywhere to talk about it. I'm 100% certain. Okay, so here's where the list gets a little painful, because look at your list. Have you ever looked at any item on that list and said, I can't do that? I'd reach out to more people, but I can't do that. I'd forgive that person, but I can't do that. I'd be more generous with my resources, but I can't do that. Well, I've got some really good news for you. You can't do that. Nah, you're too weak and feeble and cowardly, and you're human and flawed and sinful. You can't do that. You can't do that. Huh, that's great. You can't do that. That's true. True statement, you can't do that. But here's the kicker. Here's the great big kicker. Jesus in you can. Jesus in you can. Look at your list. Look at your list. Every item that you look at there and you go, I can't do that. That's true. I can't do that. But here's the good news. Jesus in you can. The power of the universe is waiting inside of you to be released to the world around you. If you were to turn the page after Philippians, you get into Colossians. In chapter 1, verse 27, it says, there's the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, Jesus, lives inside of you. I wonder what it is we say to God when we look at something that we clearly know God wants for us, and we say, well, God, I can't do that. And when all of the power of God is resting inside of you, in Jesus, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. What are we saying to God when we look at items that we know God would want for us, and we say, I just can't. It's like having a NASCAR sitting in your driveway and you don't drive it. This amazing, powerful vehicle that's meant to be out on the road at high speed, and it stays parked in your garage. And if you park it for long enough, you go, wow, that's just an old car. Do I have to wash it again? But a NASCAR is not meant to be parked. It's meant to be driven. Your faith is the same way. You have got an engine inside of you. Not your strength, but the strength and power of Christ living inside of you. And it is meant to be taken out on the road. Pedal down. Let the speedometer rise. You can't do it, but the power of Christ in you can. It's so funny. You know, we look at the things that we know we're supposed to be about, and it can be so hard. I had an example yesterday. We've got our ministry center down on Valley Mall Parkway, and there's barber shops on either side. And it was just down there, and there was a sign on the barbershop right next door, going out of business permanently. It's a gal there. Her name is Tammy, and door was open, and people were filling up boxes, and so I just kind of let myself in and said, "Hey, how's it going?" And, well, business has been slow, and she's gotten behind on her rent, and so she got an eviction notice. And so a 38-year business that her dad ran and then she ran, it's leaving. It's gone. Very discouraged. She's packing up boxes, and the room's full of people and that are, kind of family and stuff helping out. And it's weird. I felt God just tapping me on the shoulder saying, "Well, Andrew, why don't you pray for her?" And do you know what I said? "I can't." I mean, I've never talked to her. I mean, talked to her directly about faith. I don't know these people in the room, and they really don't look like the church type, at least as far as I can tell. And, I just can't. So, I did legitimately have some things I needed to do in the office. So I'm kind of puttering around and getting those things done. And I just felt God going, "You need to preach tomorrow." I'm like, "Whoa, brat," and I said, okay, I'll go. So I go next door and I've kind of heard the story, and so I'm helping to pack up, mostly stalling for time because I'm just such a wimp. And I just say, "Hey, Tammy, I know we haven't really talked about this stuff before, but, all these things that we've seen in the ministry center and the way we've seen God provide, it happened because people just prayed and God worked miracles and stuff came from places we didn't even expect. And would it be okay if I pray for you? And maybe just ask God to, with whatever you're going through, just to work a miracle in your life." And she started crying and tears are coming down her eyes. And she said, "Yeah, that'd be okay." And I said, "Is it okay if I tell a few of my friends about it?" And she said, "Yeah, it's okay. So you're a few of my friends." And so I don't know how God's going to resolve this thing. But I ask you to pray for Tammy. And I ask you to pray for that business. And pray that. And I just prayed for her. And I said, "God, would you just do something great in her life in the next couple of weeks so that if this business can keep going, that'd be great. But more than anything, that you would just clearly show her how much you love her. That there would be something that would show up in her life. That she would just know how much you, how deeply you care for her as a daughter." And, it was this really neat little time of prayer. It's so funny, I mean, I'm a professional Christian, and I wrestle with this stuff. It's hard to do sometimes the things that we know we're supposed to do, and you feel that just that little nudge on your heart. Give. Speak. Reach out. Forgive. And we say, "But I can't." And the good news, friends, is you can't. But Jesus in you can. Look one more time at that list of those things you wrote down, things that these are so clear, you don't even need to pray about them. You know that God has called you to these things in your life. Overall, generosity, stewardship, forgiveness, patience, outreach, discipleship, prayer. And it's true that you can't. But Jesus in you can. Nothing can heal my marriage. It is so lost. It is so broken. Well, the good news is you can't, but Jesus in you can. I cannot reach out to my coworkers. I just lose all the words every time I try, and that's right, you can't. But Jesus in you can. And here's the kicker that's associated with that. As you do, as you live that out, as you live those truths out, we experience the thing that the Bible promises, contentment. You were put on this earth for a purpose. Yours is not a race car that's meant to sit in the driveway. It's meant to be out on the road. You'll never know how good life can feel until you let the engine rev hot. Does that make sense? You can't do it, but Christ in you can. Will you trust Him this week? Will you abide in him? As you're coming up to a situation and you just go, I'm going to scream if I have to pick up one more set of clothes off the floor for my kids. My head's going to explode. I'm not patient enough, God. You're not. But Christ in you can. But Christ in you can. Christ in you can. And as we live that out, we find a secret that most of the world is chasing after. They've maxed their credit cards to the limit. They've bought everything in the pursuit of it. We find something that is so elusive and yet is so close. It's contentment. Let's pray together. God, thanks for this word. Thanks for your promise that we can know true and lasting peace as we abide in you. As we're obedient to the things you call us to. Lord, I pray for my friends here. I pray for the list and the things that you've impressed on their heart and your spirit. You've been talking to them. You've been talking to us. And I don't know exactly what the items are, but I know this much, that you have given them the strength to do it. Not in their power, but in the power of Christ that lives in them, lives in us. God, we as a church, we are not strong enough to reach out and to address the needs of this valley. But Christ in us, you are. We can't give enough. But Christ in us can. Our patience wears thin, but Christ in us has more than enough. Our strength grows weak, but Christ in us has more than enough. Lord, would the power of your Spirit rest in your people, abide in your people. That God, lost people would be found and hurting people would be helped and people would be built up in Christ and go deep in him. Because your power rests in us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.